In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed and subjects of Christ the King, would you recognize a king were you to see one? In order for us to be able to do that, the one who would be the object of our vision would have to display kingly qualities. It's no wonder then that so very few people ever recognized Jesus as a king during his life on earth. Because from his birth all the way to his death, Jesus rarely displayed regal qualities. Nor were Pilate or any other earthly ruler be able to unfold or unroll one of their maps and point and say, there is the kingdom of that Jesus of Nazareth. No, Jesus' qualities as king and the extent of his kingdom is quite different. And Jesus nailed it when he said to Pontius Pilate that I am a king, but my kingdom is from another place. Jesus nailed it when he told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. This will, however, all be quite different on the last day when Jesus Christ, the King, returns on the clouds. And there everyone will see him, everyone will worship him, even those who pierced him. Those who believe in him will worship him as their King of grace and salvation. And those who are found in unbelief will worship him as the King of justice and condemnation. Isaiah saw that day, and he writes in chapter 45, God says, before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against me will come to him and be put to shame. Speaking there of Christ, the judge. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel, all believers, the church, will be found righteous and will exalt. Christ the King Sunday reminds us again that that day is coming. But this morning we look back to another day when God gave to the prophet Daniel while he was in Babylon a vision of Christ the King. And as we look at that vision today, we see first that it displays our King's unique qualities. And second, that vision displays the unlimited boundaries of his kingdom. The prophet Daniel had this vision 6 centuries before Jesus was born. It is one of the ways that the writer to the Hebrews says, God spoke to our forefathers in the past, in many times and in a variety of ways. Daniel's vision was about human earthly kings and their kingdoms that had visible boundaries. 4 in particular, the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Greeks, and the Romans. And Daniel also saw that in that time of the Roman kingdom on earth, that one like the Son of Man would appear. That God would in that time send the eternal Son of God into the flesh as a human being. And so Daniel had that vision of that Savior King to come, the Messiah, during the Roman period. Daniel, of course, applied that vision to Jesus' first advent. We apply it to Jesus' second advent at the end of the world. Christ the King Sunday is the pivotal point, the connecting point between last Sunday, Saints Triumphant, and next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday of the new church year. Jesus came into the world born in Bethlehem. During his ministry, Jesus came to rule the hearts of many people through the gospel. He rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, promising the church through the angels, just as you saw the Son of Man go up into heaven, you will see him return from heaven to gather believers together, saints triumphant on earth, bringing the saints triumphant in heaven, gathering together that church to spend eternity in heaven. Jesus is coming, Advent says, to make and gather the saints triumphant that we talked about last Sunday. Consider this morning our Savior King's unique qualities: justice, grace, power, and glory. He appears as a man, yet he remains God. The kingdom is his, the strength is his, the rule is his over all things. Jesus Christ, the King, rules over all earthly kings and nations and peoples today in his power. He rules the hearts of believers, of those who confess him as their Savior and look forward to his coming again. When Jesus comes again, he is not going to come to save the world this time. That's why he came and what he did last time. He saved the world. He saved you from the guilt and punishment of your sins. And when he comes again, he will judge the world. And as we heard before, that judgment has already taken place as God calls us to faith in Christ. Just as our King received that authority to judge, he received that authority to rule. The Ancient of Days, quite a unique name for God, indicating his eternity, his changelessness, his authority. God the Father calls to himself his Son, Jesus Christ, and gives him the authority and the power to rule over all things for the sake of the church. Nothing happens in this world that is not for the good of all believers in Christ. Daniel saw in his vision that day of that coming, that day of that appearing of one like the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven. Christ the King, in that vision of Christ the King, that vision didn't only display those unique qualities of our King, but it also displays the unlimited boundaries of his kingdom. Human earthly kingdoms have visible boundaries on a map. Sometimes they have visible boundaries on the ground. Think, for example, of the Four Corners, where Arizona, Nevada, Utah, and New Mexico, I think that's right, all come together in one place. And you can see the Four Corners visibly of those states. Think about what's going on in the Middle East now. That's been going on for centuries. The waging war, the changing borders, the constant fighting over borders that you can put on a map and that define and describe a certain area of land. And human and earthly kingdoms have human kings or rulers or leaders or presidents that have power only within those borders. When our president visits a foreign country, he has no power or authority there. When kings or presidents or prime ministers from other countries come to America, they have no authority or strength or power within our borders. That is completely different with Christ. Jesus Christ, filling all things, and yet at God's right hand, rules over all of those human kings. He rules over all of those earthly borders. He rules over all those people in the sense that his strength and his power and his will determines what goes on in those countries. God's rule knows no boundaries on earth because Christ's rule is over all the boundaries. But in a special way, Jesus Christ the King rules hearts through the gospel in all of those countries. Christ's kingdom has no boundaries visibly because it is Christ's rule through the gospel in the heart of believers. And where do we find those believers? We find them in virtually every part of the world today. We find them in all different languages, all different cultures, all different colors of skin, living within all different human and earthly boundaries of kingdoms as Jesus rules those hearts and worship Christ. The Hebrew word that's used here for worship means to render service to render honor to. All people are ruled by Christ, whether they know it or not. But those who know it render honor and service to Christ because we know that He is ruling our hearts. You and I now get down on our knees and worship Christ as the Savior. We sing our praises to Him as the Son of God, as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But the day of that universal worship, the day of that universal praise will come when Jesus the King returns on the clouds. And again, we who know who He is and believed in Him before will go to heaven. Those who now know who He is and worship Him, it will be too late for their salvation and will be cast from His presence. The kingdoms of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome are gone. They're lying in ruins. They're but a memory in dusty history books. But that's not the way it is with the kingdom of God and the authority of His Christ. That rule continues. It continues to grow and it continues to expand as we believers carry that gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection to the world. As we said in our confession, as we tell others, by the innocent life, by the perfect life, and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of heaven. That kingdom will continue to expand as it has expanded over the centuries past in the centuries to come. There are earthly rulers, and there always have been, who pound their chests and shake their swords and invade other people's lands. That's not the way the church works. in humility, giving all the glory to Christ, using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we do mission work. And we talk to our friends and we talk to our neighbors. And we reveal to them that Jesus Christ, so humble, so lowly, so unlooking like a king, is the ruler of all things who has come and is calling them to faith and his ruling activity. What a good way to end the church year. And I'll say it again next week, God willing. What a good way to begin the new church year. Jesus came. He was born in Bethlehem to live and die to save us from our sins. Jesus comes. He comes to us in the Word and Sacrament, calling unbelievers to faith and strengthening the faith of us who are already believers. Jesus is coming again. One day the King will reveal Himself to all people, and all people will bow down and worship Him and sing His praises. And so we look for what's called His parousia, His appearing, that day when He reveals Himself visibly. But now is the thousand-year reign of Christ that Revelation talks about. That's not some kind of millennial kingdom, but it is really the New Testament reign of Christ over His church between His first coming and His second coming. So you and I are living in that thousand-year reign of Christ between His nativity and His appearance. And we, His subjects, live under the knowledge that we have the Prince of Peace as our King and that we live in His peaceable kingdom. And we invite our neighbors and our friends and the rest of the world to join us, to come into His kingdom and serve Him in righteousness and blessedness. John Lennon, the songwriter, once penned these words, "There ain't no Jesus gonna come from the sky." Sadly, all too many people believe that. But by God's grace and the power of His Word, you and I know Jesus as our Savior and as our King. And so as we live as His subjects in His kingdom of grace, we keep one eye looking out for ways that we can serve Him as His loyal subjects, and we keep the other eye fixed on the sky, waiting and looking for Jesus to return. Because He is our King, as we confess virtually every week, "For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, and also ours, because of Him, forever and ever. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen."